This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we'll begin today with Joe Biden's proposed infrastructure and jobs package and what it could mean for the nation and for this state and region. The first thing we need to say is this. It's huge. $2 trillion with big ambitions to match. A plan to repair 20,000 miles of road, 10,000 bridges, fix and expand public transit and rail. It would also tackle the climate crisis, racial inequality, hike corporate taxes while putting a generation of Americans to work.
We'll create millions of jobs, good paying jobs. We'll grow the economy, make us more competitive around the world, promote our national security interests, and put us in a position to win the global competition with China in the upcoming years. It's big, yes. It's bold, yes. And we can get it done.
That's Biden rolling out the plan yesterday. And to help us make sense of it all and what the plan would mean for this part of the country, we're joined by Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton of Salem. He represents the 6th Congressional District and serves on the House Transportation Committee. And Congressman Moulton, always great to have you on Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me, Anthony.
So I'm going to get into the particulars of this plan, but I'd love just a quick reaction from you, your initial reaction, your initial take on President Biden's massive proposal here.
My initial take is that this is exactly what we need. And of course, we need to see all the details. Those are still being developed. But there's no question that we have a massive infrastructure debt in this country that we've got to build back better. We have a huge opportunity coming out of the pandemic to put money into the economy, food on people's tables by giving good jobs to Americans all across the country and come out with a much better connected America at the end of the day.
So, Congressman, this is the first half of a Biden plan to do this. There's going to be another plan, part of it that will come out later for a total of $4 trillion over a decade. So things get measured these days in trillions of dollars. Republicans, of course, very concerned about these kinds of price tags. What's your response to that kind of concern?
It's amazing how unconcerned they were with the price tag of the Trump tax cut, which was trillions of dollars. And of course, that didn't go to making our country stronger, building infrastructure, preparing us for the next 100 years. Building a legacy that our kids can be proud of. No. That just went to giving tax breaks to the wealthiest Americans and the richest corporations. So their criticism is totally hypocritical. But there's bipartisan agreement that we need to put more money into infrastructure. I think the key is going to be whether we invest in next generation infrastructure. As I've often said, this is a generational opportunity to invest in infrastructure. We can't squander it by investing in the last generation's infrastructure. That's why the details matter so much.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of those details, because I'd like to understand and give listeners an idea of what it might mean to this, to our region, to this state. You've long been an advocate for better transit, building the North-South rail link, for example, high-speed rail. Would this proposal represent a boost to projects like those specific projects?
Well, it would. Yesterday, President Biden said, quote, you and your family can travel coast to coast without a single tank of gas on a high speed train. That's the reality that we should all be experiencing today. And yet we're the only developed country on earth pretty much that doesn't have high speed rail. So look, think about it this way. We can put a ton of money into 1950s highways, and maybe we'll get some electric vehicles. So you can be traveling around in a brand spanking new electric car with an added lane to Route 93, and you'll still be stuck in traffic. Or you could be zipping across Massachusetts and zipping across the entire region at 250 miles an hour in a high-speed train. Everywhere else in the world, that's how they're traveling. And so we're really behind in America. And that's what I mean by investing in next generation infrastructure. We should be able to get more quickly to where we want to go with less impact on the environment, safer, more efficiently. Americans should have more options. And that's what we're really gunning for in this proposal.
Are there shovel-ready projects that you'd like to see get funded? I mean, we're going to talk about sort of the challenges facing this plan, getting through Congress in a moment, but let's assume it gets through. What's sort of on top of your list of particular projects here in Massachusetts?
Well, it's a good question. You know, the North-South Rail Link is unquestionably the most important infrastructure project that we need to do because it enables regional rail where you can live on the north side of Boston and work on the south side, which you can't do today. It's just unrealistic to be able to make that commute by car. And of course, the rail system is totally disconnected, so you can't do it by train. We're talking about getting around Massachusetts more quickly than you can today. Not just by the commuter rail, but then you can by car. And we commissioned a study not too long ago that said that doing this project will be essential for Massachusetts' future. Now you ask, is this shovel ready? Well, all the environmental approvals are not done. It can't start tomorrow. But I think it would be a huge mistake to only focus on projects that have been in the pipeline for so long that they're shovel ready, but they've been in the pipeline for so long that they're also outdated.
So your colleague, Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch, said earlier this week that Massachusetts is well placed in terms of getting some funding from this plan. And he mentioned in particular projects like an east-west rail, which would connect Boston with cities like Worcester, Springfield, and Pittsfield. So there's an example of something else that this state has badly needed and talked about for a long time.
Absolutely.
Are you in favor of that? Yeah.
Absolutely, Anthony. But it's actually a great example to pick apart so we can understand the implications of which way we go with this proposal, because we've been talking about east-west rail for a while. But if we do what Governor Baker is talking about, we're going to build a rail system that goes about the same speed as a rail system built in 1890. We need east-west rail that's actually high-speed rail. That's what they're building everywhere else in the world. They're not building infrastructure that with trains that go 50 or 70 miles an hour. They're building infrastructure for trains that go 250 miles an hour. Imagine being able to get to Springfield in 20 or 25 minutes. That's transformative. That means that, yeah. I mean, you can live in Springfield or Longmeadow and work in downtown Boston and have a quicker commute than many people who live in places like Weston or Salem up here in the North Shore. So that's the kind of infrastructure that we need. And by the way, if you have the North-South Rail Link connecting to East-West Rail, it means you not only get into downtown Boston, but all around the entire region.
I'm just curious about this. I mean, the prospect of modern trains that can whiz along at 200 miles per hour. I know lots of countries around the globe have trains like this. But there's also this issue, and that is folks who might be concerned about living next to train tracks where trains are zooming by at 200 miles per hour. How do you overcome local opposition? How do you make this attractive to everybody, to all stakeholders, I guess?
Well, you just need to educate them and talk about the alternatives. It's far safer to live next to a high-speed rail line than it is to live next to a highway. There's much less noise. You know, you live next to a highway, there's a constant barrage of noisy trucks going by your window. High-speed trains zip by every 20 minutes. You barely notice them. The right-of-way is much narrower than a highway, so it takes up far less space. That's one of the reasons it ultimately costs less. And it's all fenced off and secured, so there's no chance that a child could wander onto the tracks, which, of course, is not the case with highways, which require regular access. And so there's plenty of places for people to get on highways. And that's why, sadly, it's part of the reason why so many people die on our highways every single year. The reality is that high-speed rail is very popular in other parts of the world that are familiar with it, but Americans aren't familiar with it because we don't have any high-speed trains. Now, actually, the Acela goes pretty fast. It goes 150 miles an hour through southern Massachusetts, and you don't hear people complaining about that. We're talking about trains that go a bit faster, maybe 100 miles an hour faster than the Acela. But this isn't radical. It's just a radical departure from what we're used to in America.
Right. I mean, what might be radical is to convince Republicans to come along on that high-speed train ride, if you want to put it that way. Well, I mean, Mitch McConnell, let me just get the question out, and then I want you to respond to it. I mean, no, that's fine. Mitch McConnell says the Republicans won't support Biden's infrastructure plan, and he vows to fight the Democratic agenda. I mean, he just said this very, very recently. So can the president get this passed over objections of Republicans?
I mean, has Mitch McConnell ever said he would work with us on anything? Has he ever said he'll put the interests of the country ahead of his political interests? No, he always opposes everything and always attacks Democrats. That's who Mitch McConnell is. But a lot of Republicans will listen to facts. And if we talk about why there's a better return on investment for high-speed rail versus highways, why if you have a certain transportation problem between City A and City B, you can solve it at a much better price, much less money at the end of the day by building high-speed rail as opposed to adding lanes to highways, then people will come along because it just makes sense. And Microsoft is seeing the reality of this. There's a company that understands numbers. They actually commissioned a study themselves in the Pacific Northwest, and they found that building in a brand new, entirely new high-speed rail system to connect cities of Washington and Oregon and up even into British Columbia would be far less money than adding just a single lane to the existing interstate. And think about the difference for travelers. You could add a single lane. It's going to get filled up real quickly. And at most, you're still going 70 miles an hour if there's not traffic. Whereas you have a brand new high-speed rail system for less money, and you go three times as fast.
But just to come back to this issue about Republican opposition, I mean, the Democrats pushed the stimulus bill through without a single Republican vote. Is this going to be another case where Democrats are going to have to do this on their own?
Well, I certainly hope not. You know, I have the most ambitious high-speed rail proposal before Congress right now. It's called the American High-Speed Rail Act. And I'm working to get Republicans on board so that it is bipartisan. One of the other things we have to help Republicans understand is the difference that this can make for all the intermediate cities across the country. Take Chicago and Atlanta, for example. A lot of people think of Chicago and Atlanta as a journey you could only do by plane. But actually, they're closer together than Beijing and Shanghai, the most popular high-speed rail route in China right now. The travelers over there, whether they're Chinese travelers or American travelers, and they can choose to go by plane between those two cities. But overwhelmingly, they choose high-speed rail because it's a much nicer, better way to travel. But if we just invested in O'Hara Airport in Chicago and Hartsfield Jackson in Atlanta, that might be good for those two economies. But it wouldn't do anything for Indianapolis. It wouldn't do anything for Nashville or Chattanooga. And yet all those smaller cities, many of them in Republican districts, would be served by regular high-speed rail service between Atlanta and Chicago. So it would be brilliant for all these economies in between, for so many cities that have been left out of the tech and biotech revolution in places like Boston or the economic booms that Atlanta and Chicago have experienced, but haven't been felt by everywhere in the Midwest. That's part of the vision that we need to explain to skeptical Republicans.
Congressman, I have to say, I've talked to you about many issues over the years, and sometimes you're, really enthusiastic, and sometimes you're really enthusiastic. And I got to say, this seems like an issue that seems to really light your fire. This is the sense I'm getting.
Well, the reason I think, Anthony, is because of what a difference it makes well beyond transportation. I mean, this is not just about having a nicer way to get from here to there. I mean, high-speed rail is nicer. It's, I mean, that's why business travelers prefer it. But this is about what it means for our communities, because it incentivizes the kind of smart, beautiful downtown cities, smart, sustainable growth that we all want. It means that the country will be more tied together and people won't feel so separated because they can't have access to the jobs in one of these fast-growing cities. Yes, it's way better for the environment. Yes, it's way safer. And yeah, it's nicer, but it does all these other things too.
All right. Congressman Seth Moulton, he represents the Massachusetts 6th District. Congressman, always good to talk to you. Many thanks. I appreciate it.
Same here, Anthony. Take care.